Chapter 23. Robin ate breakfast feeling useless. There'd been no good news yesterday, and he couldn't see why there'd be any today, and he wanted to be galloping around the country seeking her. But Petra was working hard at not being caught, and she was succeeding. Strangely, he was proud of her. If only he could be sure she was safe. Thorne sat by his bed drinking tea and studying a map. I wish we knew her destination. That would be entirely too easy. This isn't a game. No, of course not. Do I make it seem? I probably do. Petra berated me for it. It's just my way. I know, I know. Thorne tossed aside the map. I suppose I'm worried about her too, but she chose to leave. And you met her only a few days ago. Unless my nursemaid popped me in her cradle. Sorry, flippant again. Some days are a lot longer than others, I find. Was I ever the light-hearted Earl of Huntersdown, who knew not Petra de Verio? There you go again. I'm a hopeless case. A footman entered then with a letter. Thorne opened it and said, Some good news. The man I sent to Dover reports that a man of Vartz's description followed your men. They took the coach he rode. So he's not gone to the Folkestone area. Right then, let's follow him to London. Petra's greatest danger is from Vartzy. If I can stop him, her situation is improved, and your people can continue the search down here. That's actually an excellent and surprisingly sane idea, if the doctor approves. Robin suppressed his opinion of the doctor. She might well be going there anyway to seek help of Teresa Cornalis. That could be disastrous. The woman would give her up for some pieces of silver. Gold, Robin, gold, said Thorne, and sent to hurry the doctor. Once he'd arrived, Dr. Brown pulled a face, but Robin knew that when the physician agreed to stitch the wound and permit travel, gentle travel, he was healing. The man had even muttered something about healthy young flesh, shaking his head. Soon Robin was hobbling out to the travelling chariot with the aid of a footman and a sturdy walking stick. He knew Thorne would insist on careful travel to favour his leg, but even so, he was out of his damned bed, and they'd be in London by evening. London, he said as they set off, and something useful to do. Petra parted from Alice Hythe and walked north. It was only a few miles to Maidstone, and she felt comfortably anonymous in her shabby clothing. In any case, she doubted anyone was looking for her this far afield. Having been trained all her life that men were dangerous and that a woman alone was indecent, she was nervous about walking the open road. Most, however, were simply polite, and the few who smiled too broadly or even made lewd suggestions didn't persist when she walked by. Perhaps it was simply that country people were busy. Idleness is the devil's garden, as they said. Or perhaps her shabby clothing concealed her attractions. That would be a very pleasant change. She arrived in Maidstone to find a market in the street and wandered it in hope of cheap food. When she saw a place selling used clothing, however, she checked the goods. 2 brown pennies purchased a battered, wide-brimmed straw hat. It would help shield her from the sun, but it also reminded her pleasantly of Mistress Waddle. "Welsh, then, are you?" the man asked. Petra agreed, and he nodded, pleased. Thought so. Very well. If anyone asked where she was from, she would say Wales. Unfortunately, her knowledge of Wales was almost non-existent, but she thought Monmouth was there, connected to the tragic Duke of Monmouth, bastard son of King Charles II. She hoped that would do. A man came by with a tray on his head, shouting, Hot pies! Petra bought one and sat on a wall to eat it. It was delicious, filled with potatoes, meat, and thick, rich gravy. With some plums and water from the town pump, she felt she dined well. She ached for coffee, but that only made her think of Robin, so she closed that door in her mind. She explored the market a little more, finding that her clean but poor clothing and a mention of Wales seemed to make her acceptable and unremarkable. She indulged in a currant bun, and then bought some more plums to take with her and a piece of hard cheese that would keep. She was content until she heard, "Woman in a green flowered dress beneath a red cloak. Foreign. Lost her wits." Petra peered from under her straw hat and saw a young man in brown coat and breeches and a three-cornered hat weaving his way through the market, asking all the stallholders. Would Robin never give up? She hated that he be so worried and prayed he'd accept the message of her letter. Feeling safe in her disguise, she decided it was better not to try to slip away. The searcher looked around and his gaze went right over her. She was safe. She turned away casually and strolled onward in search of a place where she could buy a seat on a wagon. It was easy, and within an hour she climbed into the back of the enormous cart. It was covered by canvas stretched on big hoops and fully loaded with boxes and sacks. But at the very back end, benches on either side would hold about 10 people. At the moment, Petra greeted a young woman with two small children, an ancient couple, and a peg-legged sailor. She saw that wagon travel was mostly for those unable to walk, and hoped she wouldn't be conspicuous. No one seemed surprised by her, however, and when they asked her name, she said Monmouth. They seemed to accept that and her being Welsh. The team of 8 huge horses started their steady plod, and she was on her way. A short distance out of town, Robin's hound rode past with only a cursory glance, off to ask questions at the next place. It didn't matter. Petra de Vario of the green dress and red cloak had completely disappeared. In London, Robin went to Thorne's house rather than his own, because he'd realised Vartzi might be watching Hastings Street. One of Thorne's men was sent to visit the house and get news. He returned as Robin and Thorne ate a late meal. "Your man and valet have left as ordered, my lord," he told Robin. "A couple of people have called at the back door who might have been suspicious, but they might have been seeking employment or directions, as they claimed." "No one lurking?" Thorne asked. "Not as I could see, your grace." When the man had gone, Thorne said, "Seems to me it's going to be as hard or harder to find Vartzi as to find your Petra." Robin glared at him, and Thorne raised a hand. "Pax! I need a good fight. You're still recovering from the last one." "Yes, plague take it. I want to fight Vartzi, but he's an old man." On the journey, they discussed what to do with the villain and come to no good conclusion. Neither could swallow cold-blooded murder, but if Petra was correct, nothing short of death would deter him from his task. "I remember boasting to Petra that in England I could deal with Vartzi, but now..." "The difficulty is finding him. You'll deal with him then." Robin speared a piece of roast chicken. "Don't patronise me." After a moment, he said, "You know, we're playing the game on his terms. I've no need of secrecy now. The Earl of Huntersdown can get away with landing without due process, and I can protect the smugglers if necessary. I can accuse Vartzi of complicity in that attack on me," he said with relish. "In fact, I don't see why I can't advertise." "Advertise what?" Thorne asked. "For Vartzi. Reward to be given. Man of this description, etc., etc." "On what grounds?" "Complicity in the attack, as aforementioned. If I catch him, I can have him before the courts for an attack on a peer of the realm. Heinous." "'Struth, you're showing terrifying depths. "'I assume one simply sends the notice to the papers. "'Overstone will know.' "'His plump, dull, but extremely efficient town secretary did know. "'He showed no reaction to his instruction, but did say, "'If you will excuse me, Your Grace, "'I will suggest that if you do not wish to draw attention to this house,' or any involvement of Lord Huntersdown, perhaps any responses should be directed to a discreet third party. Overstone, you are invaluable. See to it, there's a good fellow. Robin went early to bed, and this night he quickly fell asleep. It might be exhaustion, but it was probably because he finally felt he was doing something to keep Petra safe.